Hello, movie marathoners, and welcome to the Movie Marathoner Sundance 5K series, a series of short episodes centered on the films released at the 2021 Sundance Film Festival. I'm your host, Mati, and in this episode, I'm joined again by Catherine Gonzalez from the Latinx Lens podcast, and today we're reviewing Land. Catherine, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm doing good. In the festival, virtual festival days, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I love in-person festivals and I really miss them. And I've been to quite a few film festivals. And I was like, oh, this one will be easy peasy because it'll be virtual. And then it's like, nope, still need a lot of caffeine and still tired. And yeah, but it's been fun.
Yeah, this is my first festival, so I don't know anything different, but I'm excited maybe next year when it's all back in person to go. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But let's not keep us too long. We'll get straight into it. And just as a reminder, every Sundance 5K series episode will be completely spoiler-free. Today, we're talking about Land. So first, a synopsis. The poignant story of one woman's search in the aftermath of an unfathomable... I don't know if I can say that word. Let me do it again. In the aftermath of an unfathomable event for meaning in the vast and harsh American wilderness. Land stars Robin Wright. It is written by Jesse Chatham and Aaron Dignam, and it is directed by Robin Wright in her directorial debut. So, Catherine, we just saw this film. It's a pretty short one, but it ended like, you know, 10 minutes ago at this point. So these are our very immediate thoughts. But what are your overall thoughts on Land?
I enjoyed it. I think it's not breaking any new ground. I don't think it's doing anything, you know, super inventive or crazy, but I think it's a nice story about grief, isolation. I loved Robin Wright in this role and also as her directorial debut. I'm sure directing is like really crazy. And like, I don't know, this one seems a little bit ambitious in some ways, like although it is just her and, you know, a few other like a Demian Bashir. I don't know. It's still like I'm sure the elements and like just being up there in the mountains. I don't know. It was beautiful, but I sound a little nosy because I was crying at the end. So I guess that's also probably part of my reaction. So sorry if I sound nasally, cause I was just sniffling and I don't know. It hit me at the end. So I guess that's my immediate reaction.
Yeah. I pretty much agree completely with you that like you took the words right out of my mouth. It's awkward. I feel like every time you've come on the podcast, we pretty much completely agreed. And when Rose is on, we're usually teaming up on her. But, you know, I think exactly what you said, like it feels like a very standard film. I feel like we've seen films like this many times before, but it's kind of like an acting showcase, particularly for Robin Wright. And I think she does a good job doing the directing. It's not anything that's like, wow, I can't believe she tried that. Or, oh my God, look at this piece of filmmaking, but it's effective and it hits the right notes. And at the end, yeah, it does get a little touching. And I would say also, I enjoyed the last half of the film more than the first half of the film, because the first half of the film is kind of like just a one-fer with Robin Wright. And I thought that once the Demian Bashir character comes in and it becomes more of a twofer, the film really does roar to life and it has a feel-good feeling instead of feeling kind of like misery porn, which is what I was feeling for the first 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. And I guess it's weird because in last year, I also, this is not related and I don't know how it's going to be related, but, I got really into Yellowstone, the TV show. And so it's a lot of that like nature and you know, the wide open spaces and like, completely different storylines and everything. But just in terms of that, like, I feel like maybe there's a, I don't know if it's a comeback, because there's always been these type of stories with like, you know, going with this beautiful scenery and in the cinematic space. But I don't know, it feels like it was just perfect for me because I've been kind of doing a lot of that. And I got really obsessed with like wanting to go to Montana and like,
yeah,
literally go out. And then I think also the fact that we're going through this pandemic and like, I would love to be out there just like, you know, completely away from people and just trying to get back to it. And I know this is not spoilerly, but like there was one moment where she said something where I really just want to savor every moment. I want to notice things. And I feel like that's been kind of me and maybe a lot of people this last year is like when you had to slow down, you realized like, oh, I don't notice things. I don't take time to appreciate things. And she said that she says that too. hers is different in terms of, you know, what she's going through, but I feel like it was weirdly reminiscent of like the things that I've been kind of also thinking about in terms of like just nature and trying to slow down and appreciate things. And yeah, so maybe that's why it also hit a little bit harder for me. And maybe, yeah, it was standard film, but I liked it. I mean, it's also hard to do a standard film too, you know, like we would have known if it was bad. So I think that's an accomplishment for Robin Wright as well. Like to make a really standard, beautiful film. I mean, that's not an easy feat either. So I think that's, I don't know if I could have done that either. So yeah. Kudos. And it just made me want to go out in nature ASAP too. So
that's definitely half the appeal that I found from the film is just the luscious landscapes and trying to figure out where this was taking place. I think it takes place in Wyoming, but we were talking the whole film like, oh, where is it? And it's in the Rockies and it's got these gorgeous kind of like wide screenshots of the landscape and everything. But then it also, some of the shots that I like most about the film are these like at dusk shots when they're playing with the light from the campfire or the light coming from the clouds. All that stuff is really gorgeous. And yeah, definitely it gave me that feeling where sometimes I'm watching films and I'm like, oh, I could do that. And then of course there's another moment in this film where you're like, oh, I couldn't do that. I would die. But for the first part, you're definitely like, that sounds so nice. Just going out there, seeing if you can live out there for a year. And there definitely is like a pandemic aspect or reaction to that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we had one snow day in Texas and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then I was like, okay, now it's cold. I got to go inside. And so I was like, I definitely don't fool myself into thinking I could not do what she tried to attempt to do. I would have died the first day. Probably got eaten by that bear.
It's been 9 degrees here for 3 days. Fortunately, it was on Sundance. So I was going to be inside for the 3 days anyways, but I can kind of feel the cold. I just don't think that I would be able to survive, you know, without air conditioning and in a metropolitan city. So yeah. Good for her. I like that you mentioned Yellowstone, though. That's been a TV show that I have been trying to watch for like the last 6 months. And every time I'm about to start it, I just kind of like push it off. But I've heard such good things. And if it's like this, I'm going to just eat it up.
Yeah. And I will say, the first season is going to be kind of melodramatic a little bit. It's going to feel very over the top, and it kind of calmed all the stuff I had, like the flaws that of the first season of Yellowstone, because the scenery and just them, like the fact like the modern cowboy will get you and it'll keep you going, but you're like, man, this is so dramatic. But then in the second and third seasons, it kind of like, it still has like, you know, the TV stuff, but I think it kind of fixes itself. I think it was trying to appeal to some, you know, like that audience. And then it was like, oh, we don't need to do that as much. But I loved it. And my husband doesn't binge a lot of TV shows. And we actually like, we binged that and we like bought the second and third one on, we like didn't want to wait. So, yeah. And then I got so obsessed with like, I even was trying to buy like, oh, I want that outerwear from the cowboys and like the beautiful landscapes. I was like, oh, but just, I guess nature and everything, it's just so beautiful. And this movie kind of reminded me that of that again, because that season, I mean, that show isn't like, it's going to come back this year, but I was like, oh yes, I remember. So it had good memories, I guess.
Would you rather be in Yellowstone or in Wyoming? Well, I guess Yellowstone kind of is in Wyoming, isn't it? Parts of it are.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm a horrible geography. I think it's a little bit more realistic in terms, like, cause they live real good. Like they're like rich cattle. So I'd rather be on like, in their warm cabin house than the one she was in.
Yeah, she really gets put through the ringer in this, but it's a pretty good film. I guess the thing is just that, like, because it is what it is and like not much more, there's not a whole lot to talk about here. It's a pretty easy recommend, I would say. There's a pretty baseline level of enjoyment of having Robin Wright in an acting showcase, you know?
Yeah. I know you had written down something like, if anything didn't work about the film. I will just say that I think, and I guess the cinematic landscape kind of made me forget about it. And it's not anything where I wouldn't recommend it, but I did kind of think, and I think even Demian Mishra's character, Miguel, kind of mentions it, like when she wants to, you know, she's like, oh, I don't care if I starve. And she's like, and he says, oh, only people who have had everything, you know, have never been hungry, think that's an okay way to die. And I think that's kind of maybe an issue that I had is like, just, I feel like we all want to go and do what she did. Like, you know, if you wanted to escape, and not everyone could do that too. So I feel like it was a bit of a privilege, you know, for her to be able to go and escape and, you know, just like forget the world and not do that. But it is a movie. So I'm like, you know what, in terms of like the movie Escape, but I'm just like, it wouldn't be plausible for people to go and do that. Or at least at her, what she was doing in that level. So that's the only thing, I guess, was my, it was like a plot movie flaw, but not a big one.
Yeah, I definitely did have some questions, like, what was she doing before this? And I mean, she did suffer, what's the word that the synopsis used to keep it spoiler free, an unfathomable event. I said it right that time. So, you know, maybe she just wasn't working before and she's taking a very long extended sabbatical from whatever she does. I don't know. There's not a lot to this character either, is the other thing. You know, it's kind of her grief and the story of her grief. But in terms of like characterization, she's not like a dynamic character in that sense. But I do think that she's one of those characters that like you can put yourself in her shoes, and she's kind of like the surrogate for the audience. So it works for sure.
Yeah. 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 One little tiny thing, because I was just thinking like there's a lot of things that people go through. But if you start comparing grief to, I stopped myself because I was like, who am I to judge how people kind of go and do their own thing, right? And it's also, if she does have the means to go do this, then that's also shouldn't be like a reason. So I was like going through all that a little bit, and I was like, you know what, just enjoy the movie. So but that was just like a tiny thing.
Yeah, it'd be, I wonder if like she has done this in the past, the Robin Wright character or something, you know, like this seems like a thing that Robin Wright might do. But
yeah, and well, I guess it makes sense for I think what kind of pulled me away from that, now that I'm thinking about it, I guess we're not going to do spoilers, so I can't really, but there was kind of like a redeeming thing where it made sense why she went to go do that, I think, in the nature part. So I kind of was like, okay, I get it.
I know what you're talking about, and it you do find out why she does it, and I'm glad that they included that instead of keeping it ambiguous. And I don't know if I would have made the connection that the like the nature aspect is part of that until you just said that. But that's actually makes complete sense. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we can keep this pretty brief. Definitely check out Land. I think it comes out pretty soon, right? I think it's already acquired by Focus Features. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely recommend this one. Go check it out when you can. But to close us out, Catherine, since we're the Movie Marathoners podcast here, I've been asking marathon-related questions to close us out. If you had to run a marathon, which character from this film would you choose to run it with? And there is an objective, correct answer, in my opinion.
Damien Bashir, because he's going to help me survive.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Potter, the dog.
Yeah.
He
would be. Yeah, he would be the good. He wouldn't talk back.
Yeah, I loved him. He was so cute. Such a great little dog in this movie. Buddy Garrity, though, too, would be a great guy to run the marathon with.
Yes. He has
a
little cameo. I was like, oh, Friday Night Lights, shout out. Like,
yep. That's one of those shows that anytime there's an actor from Friday Night Lights in something else, I'll just scream their Friday Night Lights name. Like, no matter how big they get, like, what's his name? Will always be Eric Taylor, Kyle Chandler, Voodoo Tatum.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Catherine. Where can people find your work online?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ThingsCatLoves, and you can find the Latinx Lens podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And then also you can find writings from me and other people on shuffleonline.net.
Awesome. This has been a Movie Marathoner Sundance 5K series episode reviewing Land. Be sure to stay tuned for more Sundance coverage. You can find all of our Sundance 5K series and the main feature episodes of Movie Marathoners, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, at our website, evergreenpodcasts.com/movie-marathoners, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that life's a marathon, so let's take it one movie at a time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matt Neglia, and I am the host of the Next Best Picture podcast, part of the Film Entertainment Awards website, nextbestpicture.com. On our show, we explore all year long what is possibly going to win Best Picture at the Oscars. We do this by conducting interviews with people within the film industry, holding weekly reviews of the latest theatrical releases, and on our main show, where we dive into various different topics, answer your fan questions, and also do our best to explore Oscar history's past in hopes that it will tell us something new for this upcoming award season race. We hope that you will join us on all of the various podcasting networks. We look forward to seeing you over at nextbestpicture.com.